So the purpose of the Soviet rulers was to overcome, to circumvent, so to speak, nuclear assured destruction. How to do it? To do it is to develop a means of destroying those enemy means or Western means, let us say Western means of nuclear retaliation. You see, nuclear power cannot do it. For example, Russia or the United States have submarines deep underwater. The other side cannot destroy the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean by nuclear power.
Exactly. And they can't even find the submarines.
They cannot find those submarines either. Therefore, for example, here comes this nanotechnology, or rather, more exactly, molecular nanotechnology, because nanotechnology is a field of many fields.
Mm-hmm.
And we are interested in molecular nanoassemblers. These are a kind of molecules consisting of atoms, and they are actually sort of computers or machines that multiply, and they move through the Atlantic Ocean, through the Pacific Ocean, through any ocean, find the submarines and destroy both submarines and missiles and nuclear warheads. Everything turns to dust.
That's incredible technology.
Yes, incredible. In general, nanotechnology has many great prospects. For example, if you read sort of, popular articles on the subject, they usually start with the fact that nano assemblers of carbon can penetrate, can be penetrate and carbon be converted to diamonds. The old dream.
Right.
Of our chemistry, so it's a really great field. And I am privileged to know Eric Drexler, who is the founder of nanotechnology in general, including, that field of nano assemblers or molecular nano assemblers.
Well, do you see the next step in warfare left as being the direction of molecular nanotechnology?
This is what the Chinese strategists see it. As for the United States, here is, they sent me, Drexler, this guy, he is the Einstein of nanotechnology, so to speak.
Yes.
I received from them a polemic between him and another nanotechnologist. And you see, the thing is, Drexler is not even financed by the U.S. government. The U.S. government finances, on a rather moderate scale, but still finances so-called peaceful areas.
Sure.
Of nanotechnology, but not that military field.
You don't think that we're doing it clandestinely, black ops?
No, I do not believe in sort of, there is a good book that taught me a lot. Judith Miller and other two New York Times journalists wrote a book which is called Germs. And it has subtitle Biological Weapons and America's Secret War. So it sounds like an exposé. And this is how the book was sold. Look, this is an exposé of what the United States is actually doing, in that terrible field of germs. But actually, what Americans are doing is simply laughable. It's comical. And the same applies to nanotechnology. They don't want to finance it. And Drexler fights for the financing. But he's sort of this Einstein of nanotechnology has not been successful. All the money go into those peaceful fields, and it's sort of, some people think that it is wrong, that since war is wrong anyway, it is wrong to finance, you know, just the production of any weapons. You know, there are peaceniks, so to speak, or there are people who do not understand the meaning of that field because it's few people who know about nanotechnology, and even that is recent. Now, it's interesting. Here is a quotation. On June 19, 2000, the dictator Jiang Zemin, that's in China,
China, yeah,
spoke in his interview about nanotechnology as about something familiar to all. That was in 2000, when hardly anyone knew the word nanotechnology.
Right.
And to show you how, you see, you, anyone can notice that China, and certainly the military development in China, is not mentioned. It's taboo. It is taboo for President Bush. It is taboo for nine Democratic presidential candidates. They, you know, the impression is that China does not exist.